Hi, everyone. It's Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show. You know, one of the biggest questions I get on the show is, what exactly goes into a business exit plan, and when should I start creating mine? Well, I always tell people that the best time to start was 5 years ago, but the next best time is now because you never know when you might need it. So we put together a free report that describes what an exit plan is and what you should know. You can get it free by texting exit plan with no spaces to 44222. That's exit plan to 44222. Again, text exit plan to 44222.
Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Hey, I've had my next guest on the show before, and she is awesome. So you're going to really enjoy this. Sue Coach is with Three Squares Coaching and Consulting here in Irvine, California. She's written a book called Sexy Second Act, and she works primarily with baby boomers who are ready to design a sexy second act that combines passion, purpose, and a paycheck. And we're going to talk all about that because I know a lot of you are out there thinking about, how am I going to re-engineer my life after I so-called retire? That's a myth, isn't it, these days? I call it rewiring because more people leave the current job or situation they're in and start something new saying either I need to or I want to continue to be active and do something that I think is going to be fun. So let's talk about not only fun, but a sexy second act. Sue, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me back. It's good to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. I know you've been busy. You've got some workshops coming up we're going to talk about a little bit, and been working on getting your book out there. Tell us a little bit about the idea of the sexy second act. It combines passion, purpose, and a paycheck. I love that. I love that saying. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Hopefully this will be a little better. I've got the phone a little closer to me. So I think the baby boomer generation, you know, we started out as young people wanting to make a difference in the world, thinking that we could do it easily because we had the energy, we had the passion, but I don't know that we had the skills or the experience to be able to do it. We had the passion. I don't know that we even had the purpose, because sometimes as a young person you aren't really life experienced enough to know what that is. But now in the second half of life, as we're looking at how we want to go out, I think we're looking at, what do I want to leave behind? What kind of a legacy do I want to leave? What matters to me, and how can I use what matters to me to make a difference in the world? And that difference can bring you a paycheck, or that difference can bring you the rewards of having made a contribution and made a difference and left a legacy. I think that's individual and up to each person. So that's really where passion, purpose, and a paycheck come together. What do you love? What has meaning for you? And how can you use those two things to give back in a way that matters to you?
And, you know, one thing that comes to mind when I think of baby boomers, and I am one, by the way, but I'm not like the baby boomers. For those of you who haven't done the math, this is 2017. The baby boomers are now age 51, 52, 53, 1946 to 1964. So 1946, so they're 70, they can be 72 years old this year, right? Baby boomers could be in their mid-50s to the early 70s these days. Now, you think about that range of technology aptitude and the ability, when a lot of these people started, they were given a job description, they were given tasks to do, and they did them for the next 30 to 40 years under changing circumstances with technology coming in and all that. But then a lot of people now are stepping back going, what's out there? I don't even know what's out there. And so is that where you come in to help them understand, let's figure out what you want to do, and then let me tell you what's out there that you can use as tools and resources that you might not even be aware of?
Yeah, I do a little bit of that. I really start off with what matters to you, because I think it's something that has to start from the inside out. And it's kind of a DIY now because, as you say, the baby boomers are turning into their 70s now, still can have maybe at least 20, 30 years of active life left. How many games of golf can you play? How many TV programs can you watch before you just want to die because you're bored to death? It's looking at, like, really what's next? How can I take the things that matter to me, whether it's homeless people or doesn't really matter, and use my talents to make a contribution in that area? Then we look at the design and what's out there. But first, you know, people shut down quite often around that question very early because they're thinking, oh, I can't start a business now. I'm too old. I'm not technology literate enough, whatever it is. And you have to kind of give up those conversations and let yourself play like a little kid in a sandbox. Like, what would you build if you could build anything you wanted to? And then let's look for where the passion is, and then we can deal with the details of it later, because your brain is really creative at problem solving. It can solve that problem. But getting to that thing that's going to energize you for the next 20 or 30 years is the tough part, because we don't think we have the ability to be able to create it. So why even bother? It's where our brains go sometimes.
And that is probably a huge part of it, I would imagine, because a lot of people that I know and that I've seen and witnessed might have swallowed their dreams a long time ago when they realized, you know, I've always wanted to do X, but I have to do Y, because Y pays the bills and pays the money and gets the kids through college and builds a retirement plan and all that type of thing. And so a lot of people may have swallowed that drive and ambition a long time ago, and now they need to find it again. So
yes.
What types of how do you start getting people to open up their minds in that area?
Sometimes it's as simple as making a list. You know, like write down a list of, you could call it a bucket list or something, but write down a list of 50 to 100 things that you would love to do before you die. And sometimes that will just open up the creative process, because people will be daunted about 50 things. Are you kidding me? But you'd be surprised if you start writing things down and you keep that list out someplace where you can go back and look at it. Quite often, you're going to add things to it. And then I ask people to rate them. Like, what's the really red-hot things? What are the things that are sort of the nice to-dos? And what are the things that are kind of eh? And then we'll hone in on the things that really have a lot of juice and energy, even if it's something you abandoned as a kid, like taking piano lessons or singing or something like that. Just focusing in on those things are going to open up new possibilities, at least in your thinking, and then we can go from there.
That's great. So starting off with kind of a brainstorm, an internal brainstorming session, and then, of course, I would imagine one of your gifts is that you can help turn some sparks that people have into fire after that, right? Just helping them take that further.
Yes, and giving themselves permission to take it further without censoring anything. And that's, you know, the beauty of a brainstorming process is just to do that. Don't censor it. Don't try to, you know, have your mind come in and say, oh, that's ridiculous. Just write it down, and then we'll work with it if it's something that you're really hot on to.
Makes sense. Now, in your book, Sexy Second Act, you say that words create your world. Can you give us an example of how that works?
Yeah, today'd be a pretty good example, actually. So let's say you wake up and you discover it's raining outside. So in one scenario, you might start thinking, ain't it awful thoughts, like, oh, God, it's raining again. I'm so sick of the rain. I just want to go back to sleep. Traffic's going to be awful. I'll probably be late to work. My whole day's ruined. And if you get really good at it, you're going to go on down that path to making a mental list of why your whole life sucks, always did, and always will.
Right, yeah.
And then there's another scenario where you might get up, it's raining outside, you think, it's raining, and maybe you love how the air smells when it rains. And you might think, well, you know, you better leave a few minutes early for work because the traffic's probably not going to be great. And, oh, I better put my umbrella in the car too. And isn't it great that we're getting all this rain? We need it. Maybe I should check to see what the weather's doing this weekend in the mountains. Maybe I'll go skiing, make plans to go skiing. So who do you think out of those two people is going to have a better day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the second person, obviously, yeah, they're going to be looking positively at everything that happens, and that's going to attract positivism?
I think so, because who do you think is going to be more fun to be around that day?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So are you saying that all we have to do is think positively?
Not at all, because I heard someone say one time that thinking positively is kind of like putting icing on a cow patty. It might look pretty on the outside, but underneath it still stinks. So sometimes I think that's what happens with positive thinking. And things happen in life that really aren't much fun. We get sick or we get divorced or we lose our job or whatever. So there's a reality about living that we have to deal with. But instead of dealing with reality as it happens, we add all kinds of meaning to our circumstances. And so reality, we have to allow ourselves to feel what we feel about them, whether that's hurt or grief or fear. Positive thinking doesn't allow you to do with that. You're just putting icing on a cow patty. So you have to really acknowledge those feelings. But on the other hand, there was a friend of mine who posted this amazing story on Facebook yesterday about a San Francisco man who ended up as a triple amputee because he was in an accident and he almost died. And the story is really long, but the crux of it was that he came through it eventually and he ended up creating a really amazing life where he doesn't let his physical challenges stop him. He even rides a motorcycle. So he went on to found a hospice that deals with death in a way that each patient feels really cherished and that they get to have their death experience as they want to have it rather than most hospices deal with it. So it's not about positive thinking. It's about looking at how can we use our circumstances in a way that empowers us rather than makes us a victim of life.
Wow. That's incredible. Now, let's go back to that person who was laying in bed and looking out and saying it's raining, it's not going to be a good day. What can they do at that moment, or what should they do to put themselves right in their mind?
Well, I think first of all, you know, that little voice in our heads goes on and rambles and says all kinds of stuff, and we don't pay much attention to it. We just let it ramble, and we think that rambling is real, and it's the truth. It's just rambling. So I think one of the things we can do is interrupt that and say, uh-oh, there I am on that ain't it awful path again. What can I do to interrupt that? Sing a song, dance, you know, spin around. Anything you can do to interrupt the pattern for yourself and just notice the pattern of your thinking. And then look at, well, what's really good about today? What can I enjoy about the rain? What matters to me that is more important than whether or not it's raining outside? Something like that. And just noticing is the beginning of interrupting it.
Just being cognizant that you're going down that path, right?
Yeah,
that
awareness.
That your inner mind, right. And then I don't know, you know, how many personalities we have to combat that, but the mind is a strange thing, isn't it? I mean, it's like, well, here I feel like this, and it's like, well, wait a minute. You don't have to feel like that. There's a little battle going on inside of our heads. Do you condone something like waking up with an attitude of gratitude? That is, you know, as soon as you wake up, some kind of an exercise to help people start off on a positive attitude?
Absolutely. I think you can absolutely start with that. Or you can do something before you get up. Gratitude is a really great way. I end my day that way, but you could also begin it. You could create an intention for the day. So what would your intention be? It could be the intention of focus, perhaps, or the intention of going with the flow on a rainy day, or the intention of being playful. You know, you might go outside and jump in a puddle or something, like a little kid. But then a lot of people advocate starting with an intention, but they kind of stop there and they don't align or pick some actions that would align with that intention, because you want something specific and measurable. So let's say you pick focus. Well, you might get to a report that you've been putting off. Or in going with the flow, you might take a walk every couple of hours in the rain or something. Or you might schedule a tennis date to be playful. So there are things, actions that you can take that would align with the intention you create with that day. And then the end of the day, you go to bed. You can debrief yourself about whether you actually completed the actions. And if you did, you give yourself a high five. And if you didn't, you still give yourself a high five because you gave it a shot. And if you got off track, you can ask yourself what you could do differently tomorrow and maybe create a new intention around it. So if you practice that every day, pretty soon you're going to be setting bigger intentions for maybe your week or your month or your year, and you won't have to set New Year's resolutions. You're going to be creating a vibrant, sexy second act that's run by high-energy actions, and you're going to attract high-energy people and high-energy opportunities, and you're not going to have time to let negativity set you back for very long.
Just like a lot of things, you need to work at it. You need to have a process and a plan to work at it. And again, for our listeners, there's the sexy second act idea is how are you going to rewire yourself? And when should people start thinking about that, Sue? Obviously, if they're sitting around doing nothing, they're thinking I gotta do something. That's one time. But should people be thinking about this before they retire from their job or before they sell their company or that type of a thing? Should they be setting up that purpose in advance?
Absolutely. You know, in one case, I was just working with a client who has a job now. He's not very happy with it. He's younger. He's not a baby boomer. He's not very happy with it. He really doesn't know what direction to go in. So he's starting now, and he's got a family, so he's got responsibilities. He's got things that he has to take care of. And for him, maybe there'll be some kind of a side hustle, a part-time something that he starts now and builds, and then by the time he's ready to make the jump, enough things will be in place that he'll feel more secure about doing it. So I think the sooner the better, and it's never too late to begin again. As long as you're healthy and you have the energy and the desire, I don't think it's ever too late. So it's never too early, and it's never too late.
Well, I appreciate that, because I work with a lot of business owners, and I know that the ones that have a purpose and a passion for what they're going to do next find it a lot easier to move on from what they've been doing for the last 30 to 40 years. So it's very helpful. And again, your book is called Sexy Second Act, Remodel Your Life with Passion, Purpose, and a Paycheck. Look for that on Amazon and Kindle under the author's name, Sue Koch, K-O-C-H. And you have a complimentary course coming up, a teleclass called Sexy Second Act, Creating Goals That Matter, on Thursday, January 19th at 6 p.m. Pacific. So how do our listeners tune into that?
Well, they can register. I'm busy getting the website updated right now, so it's probably best if they email me, sue@threesquarescoaching.com. And I will send them the dial-in information so that they can join the class if they'd like to.
Okay, so that's sue@3, which is spelled out T-H-R-E-E, squares, plural, coaching.com. sue@3squarescoaching.com. And Sue, you're always a ray of sunshine for us, especially here on a gloomy Southern California day. It's nice to have you on the show. Thanks so much for coming on. Thanks for the great work that you're doing, because it's an important time of life for a lot of people in transition to think about, you know, where do I go from here? I don't even know where to start, and I don't want to just go get a job somewhere that's just a continuation of maybe of something that I've been doing. I want to do something I want to do, I have a passion for. So thank you for your work.
Well, you're welcome. My goal is to have people live a passionate, sexy life, and the more of us that are doing that, the better the world is going to be.
Well, we appreciate it, and hope you'll come back and join us again sometime.
I'd love to.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this. Please stay with us.
Hey, everybody, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show. One of the questions I get asked the most is, how do I grow the value of my business? I'm so busy working in it, I need to work on it. So we've created a special report for you on 10 tips to grow the value of your business. Just text the word DRIVERS to 44222 to get a special free report right to your inbox. That's DRIVERS to 44222. Text DRIVERS to 44222.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.